can be seen as a kind of time out from your routine, a place to take a break and a breath. Then you go back to your day, renewed. Welcome to Timeshare. Today, my guest is Douglas Economy, a holistic psychotherapist. Douglas uses the term holistic because he is licensed as such in Germany and, more importantly, because he believes all forms of genuine healing involve the whole being, the whole person. Douglas helps us see that our genuine healing, our transformation, arises from our true nature, our divine spirit reality within. It arises from love, because love is who we are. Douglas works with a variety of modalities, including accessing your essence, a process that he developed. Family constellation therapy and relationship coaching are the cornerstones of his work. I'm thrilled to say Douglas has accepted my invitation to be a regular guest on Timeshare, joining me the third Thursday of every month to discuss A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles has been described as a psycho-spiritual self-study curriculum or thought system showing us the way to universal love and peace. It teaches that there are no sins to be forgiven, only perceptions to be corrected. This correction leads to atonement, at-one-ment, and the doorway to this atonement is forgiveness. Douglas has been a teacher and a student of A Course in Miracles for many years, and I am honored to be sitting across from him in these conversations. I'm new to A Course in Miracles, and I'm looking forward to our discussions over the next number of months. Welcome, Douglas.
Thank you. I'm at least as honored to be here as well.
Oh, aren't you kind? Douglas, what is A Course in Miracles?
There's a bunch of ways I could try to explain what it is, different vantage points, but one I'll just choose for now is to say that the Course is a metaphysical study, but more so a description, a course in how to access the spirit reality that we are. By accessing, I mean re-identification in a strictly speaking form. And this re-identification allows us to have, again, and I say again because that is, of course, our origin, again, a full experience of the divinity that we are. In a nutshell, that's the aim, the purpose of the Course. Now, there are many books and things written about these, great books, wonderful books, and wide read, and have had much impact. And yet, I think it is safe to say that The Course in Miracles, since its publication in the mid-70s, has had an impact that is pretty much unparalleled. It is read the world over, it's been translated into countless languages, and it has started a whole movement. There's a movement out there in the world that is a study and an application of The Course in Miracles. So one would want to ask, of course, well, what's so special about this particular book? Why does it have such a profound impact on our world today? And in order to do that, I want to just have offer a very brief sketch of the spiritual landscape in the Western Hemisphere as it is today. From my point of view, there is still a very widespread traditional religious belief system that sees us as human beings, metaphysically speaking, human beings that are separate in nature, especially because they have and inhabit truly a body. but also in mind, being very much an aspect of our brain consciousness. The mind, the human mind, is also a separate phenomena. And these human beings have a soul, that's the spiritual aspect, and that soul lives on when we die and goes to heaven or to hell or whatever your belief may be. In the latter part of the last century, there's been a revolution, a new movement in the spiritual realm. And this movement has been very strongly influenced by Eastern spirituality. And the contention here is that we're actually spirit beings having a human experience. And as spirit beings, we are an extension of the divine. And as such an extension, we are one with the divine. And in addition, a very central contention is that all there is the divine, and therefore all there is one. So this is the birth of in the Western hemisphere, the birth of the non-dualistic metaphysical point of view of the world. And A Course in Miracles is a radical non-dualistic metaphysical teaching. So one may ask, well, you know, if a lot of people nowadays, and probably most of our listeners, would be people who have ascribed to such a point of view. So there's many people out there now, today, who would say, yes, we're all one. And that one is love and its divinity, and we're part of that, and we're an aspect of that, and we're really spirit beings as such. Then the question really arises, well, what does that really do for us, this view, this contention, this belief system? Although in the end it's not about belief but experience, but we'll get to that. Fear is still very rampant and widespread in our lives, in our society. Who does not experience quite a lot of fear in their everyday life? Anxiety is very widespread in our society. But if it's not anxiety, it's concerned about the future and the economy and my kids, and are they going to be okay? And is this going to be working? And not to mention insecurity complex and insecurity that's widespread, and many, many factors. As a psychotherapist, I can speak volumes about that. And generally speaking, people try to cope with that by being human doings and human havings, accumulating all kinds of things and wealth or whatever, thinking it's going to provide security, and doing things to distract themselves, and football and TV and a career and all these things. And it's nothing wrong with all of these things. But as we all, I'm sure most of us at least, have realized long since, that is not the answer. It doesn't really bring us to what we all yearn and search for. And what we yearn and search for is peace. And with that peace comes joy. And with that joy is what we would call happiness. I prefer the word joy for reasons we might get into at some point. So that's where we're at. And my impression is, even for many of these people who do say, well, in actuality, we're all one with God, but then I'm still very afraid in my everyday life. And I haven't mentioned illness, the body. We're all victims of illnesses of all kinds, cancer and all these things, Ebola and all these phenomena. So we don't leave very peaceful lives. So here comes the Course in Miracles. And what it does is it takes this metaphysical understanding that we are all one, and we're one with God, and we're love, to a level where we have no choice in the end but to access this reality? And why would we not have a choice other than to do that? Because the Course, its aim, and what he explains in the very beginning in the introduction, strives to help us remove the blocks that stand in the way of our awareness of love's presence.
Will you say that again, please?
Yes, I'm very happy to.
Because it's really important to get that.
This is central. This is crucial. The Course's aim is to teach us how to remove the blocks that are within us, that stand in the way of our awareness of love's presence,
so
of the love that we are.
So we are the love. We just don't always know it or feel it or show it or can accept it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we'll just start with one of the major blocks, and that is the block that we think of ourselves as beings who love. Remove that block, and we experience that we are love. Huge difference. Huge difference.
You can feel the energy shift just knowing that. It's hard to stay in that place, though, when we're faced with all the things that you mentioned earlier, you know, all the distractions and the money and the illness and the everything, and here we go. How do you hold on to that?
Well, this is where the practice comes in. The Course is a very intense practice. It's a mind training. It's simple, very, very simple, because reality is simple. That what God created is simple. But it's not easy. There's a big difference. Not easy because what we're up against, these blocks, are thought, feeling, and reactive patterns of the psyche. And in the Course in Miracles, the word for that is the ego. And these thought, feeling, and reactive patterns are immensely strong and powerful. Not only have they been running our lives for whatever life we've had in this lifetime, but if we do believe in reincarnation, these thought, feeling, and reactive patterns have been running the show for many, 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 many lifetimes. Not to speak of the collective unconscious that has all these tremendous thought, feeling, reactive patterns that are extremely destructive. So we're up against something very powerful here. And that's why there's a lot of work to be done. But if we do the work consistently and diligently, the outcome is beyond words. Absolutely beyond words.
You've used the term, as I'm working through A Course in Miracles, I find the whole text, you can open up the book almost anywhere and find something that's very calming. And that's the best word to describe what I feel when I'm working with it.
Yes.
But as I mentioned, I'm very new to it. In my newness to all of this work, I keep bumping up against words that have a loaded kind of context for me. So I have to undo some of those thoughts, feelings, and reactive patterns before I can get to the real message. And one of the words, you've used it a few times here, okay, is God, spirit, real, love. Can you address some of those and how we manage to keep in context and right size our reaction when we come across that? Because, you know, I've had lots of years of education in the being world and instead of the, I mean, sorry, in the doing world instead of in the being world.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to kind of slog through some of that. Can you help the new student with that?
As best I can, of course. First of all, what I would advise everyone to do very strongly, and I'm so glad you're bringing this point up, because that's the beginning of where a lot of misperceptions and misunderstandings about the Course arise, is that all of these spiritual religious terms that are used throughout the book, we have to make up our minds from the very beginning, from the outset, to say, okay, Of course, I will have a very personal reaction to each of these words. And that reaction, of course, is based on the experiences I've had around these words, the way they've been used or misused in society, the perceptions that exist out there that are in many ways more than contradictory and quite disturbing, and so on and so forth. There's tons we could say about that. So what we need to do, and the author, by the way, which we have to get into, who is actually the author of the course, is, of course, extremely well aware of that fact. And instead of trying to use different words, he decided, for very good reasons, to say, look, my readers, I'm going to stick to these words because there is an original meaning to them that I use them with. I mean, I'm trying to convey their original meaning. And so, please bear with me. So practically, what I recommend is that we let go, we try to let go of all the preconceptions and reactive feelings we have about all of these words as best we possibly can, and just read them as part of the text, just so, and try and allow ourselves to attain a very new meaning of every one of these words. And I guarantee you, a very new meaning will come about for you. And it's a meaning for each one of them that is mind-blowing and just absolutely out of this world. So that's my recommendation.
It's an important approach. And I can hear people bumping up already against some of the spiritual traditions, the religious traditions, and what we need to do is get to the wisdom beneath the dogma. So if I'm hearing you correctly, what we need to do is understand that what we have been taught in the religion context is not necessarily wrong as much as it is incomplete and maybe falls short in definition. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's start with the big one. What is God?
What is God? I cannot answer that, and I cannot define that. Again, in the end, it's experience. One thing we also have to let go of, that spirituality is a matter of belief. It cannot be a matter of belief. Because belief is something that comes about through experience. So experience is prior to belief. Experience is the source of whatever we may know, believe, or whatever. So right there's been a misperception, misunderstanding in the more traditional approach, the religious approach being a very, very strong emphasis on what do I believe. Spirituality, in my mind, has to start with, I believe nothing. What can I experience? So the question then, again, is what stands in the way of my ability to experience spirituality? And there we're right back to what the purpose of the course is. Removing the blocks that stand in the way of the awareness of spirituality, love's presence. It's the same. So it's a radically different approach. He says very much in the beginning, don't believe a word I say. This is not about belief. Do the practices, do the course. And if you do that very religiously, shouldn't I use that word? very faithfully, something will happen. You will start to experience something. And that's the crucial point. Now, I do have to say, to be complete, and I don't want to spend much time on it because it gets a little more mental here, but along the way, as I have already made up my mind, I'm not going to believe anything here. I'm out to remove the blocks that stand in my way of my experiencing what spirituality is. I do have to, along the way, accept that he says, okay, here's a few things you want to believe, just so to speak, in the interim, as a tool to open your mind to the experience. So certain beliefs and faith, that's another very crucial term, is very important in the coursework itself, but only as a tool to open myself up to the ability to experience. And in the end, the experience is what counts. And once we have the experience, all belief and all faith is meaningless. That's the point. If I need to believe God, to believe God, to have God, to experience God, what's going on here? If I experience God, do I need to believe in God? No. The experience is there, and everything else falls away. Everything else is meaningless.
And then you move from belief and faith to knowing.
Exactly. That's what he then tells us what happens, but this is a little more advanced. We'll get to that. There's a big difference between perception and knowledge. Okay. Yes.
So a couple of times you've referred to he.
Yes.
Here's the other big question.
That's the other biggie.
Who is he? Or should we take that in the second segment of the show? Because this might... Why don't we open it up here, and then we'll continue in the second segment. Please go on.
Yes. It doesn't come easily because there's a part of me that says, ooh, when anybody hears this that is not familiar with the Course is going to go, is this guy crazy or what is he, you know, what's going on here? I myself was very skeptical. For about a year, I was studying this book intensely, and I was very skeptical. But I have no doubt anymore, no doubt whatsoever, that the author of this course is actually that what we call Jesus Christ. I'll leave the word Christ away because that's another one of these crucial words that its original meaning is a very different one than traditionally, religiously has been accepted it to be. Now, Jesus being the author, how does that work? How does this come about? Well, from approximately 1965 to 1972, a dictation was happening. Jesus dictated the Course in Miracles to a lady called Helen Schuckman. She was a clinical psychologist, doctor, professor at Columbia University.
I thought it was Stanford, but okay.
No, I think it was Columbia.
Okay.
And he and the department, I believe he was the department head, Bill Thedford, the two of them were, as others in the same department, not getting along very well. There was a lot of conflict in politics and stuff. And at one point they had a conversation where they just both agreed there must be a better way. And in that moment it started. Helen Schuckman started to hear this voice that dictated the course to her. And the dictation took 7 years. And Bill Thedford was important in the whole process because she would take it down in note hand in her private time, and then, I guess during wartime, I'm not sure, but in any case, they would then sit together and she would dictate it to him. He would write it down in typewriter. Now, do we have another moment or should we wait to the...
Well, why don't we continue after? I think that's probably a good place to stop just for this second. Okay?
Okay.
You are listening to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com. My guest today is Douglas Economy. We are talking about A Course in Miracles, and we are deep into it. Great stuff. You can call in with your comments or questions at 609-470-4763, and we will continue our conversation after this break.